Want to turn in your Bibles and follow along. In the blue Bibles, it's on page 869. We're in Luke 10, beginning with verse 25. Now, Denise walked us through an understanding of the Good Samaritan story, but this morning, we're not going to focus on the Samaritan during this time. We're going to focus instead on the lawyer at the beginning of the story. Now, I want you to think for a second, what is a lawyer? Okay, this isn't an intro to a joke. This is a question. Think for a second, what is a lawyer? Someone who fights for you. It's a person whose expertise is the law, who knows the ins and outs of our legal system. And in most modern cases, lawyers have a good understanding of the broad scope of the law, but they have a specialty in a much narrower area. Now, what's a lawyer's purpose? Again, not a joke. Well, my answer to what is the purpose for a lawyer would be to ensure proper understanding, proper ruling, and proper enforcement of the law, or to ensure justice. The primary emphasis here is to protect the rights of citizens living within that legal system. In light of this past week, as I was preparing for the sermon, I found myself praying for the lawyers that are going to be involved in many of the situations that we're reading about in the news, in the cases in Minnesota, in Baton Rouge, and in Dallas. I found myself praying for the lawyers who serve as attorneys who will be involved, but also praying for the lawyers who serve as judges. And as I prayed, I asked for truth to be revealed and for justice to be served. And I hope that you'll join me this week to be praying for lawyers. Lawyers have a very important role in our lives, in our culture, and our country. And it was no different back in the first century in Jesus' time in Jerusalem. But there was one significant difference between the lawyer in our story this morning and the lawyers that we experience in our day-to-day lives. So as we look at the lawyer in this reading, Luke 10, we're going to have 3 points. We're going to first look at the lawyer's motivation. Then we're going to take a look at the lawyer's misunderstanding. And finally, we're going to look at our mission. So Jesus' teaching here, it's entirely initiated by the lawyer in this story. The lawyer asks Jesus a question. Now, to understand what's really going on, though, you must understand who he is and then understand what motivated him to ask that question. So beginning at verse 25, we read, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Now, the lawyer in our reading, as I mentioned about lawyers, he's an expert in his legal system. He's an expert in the most important legal system in Jerusalem, in the system of Jewish law. He's not a cultural or a civic professional. He's a religious leader. Some would call him an interpreter and a teacher of the law of Moses, of the Torah, God's law given to God's people. So this is a Jewish religious leader, an expert in the law of Moses, but he didn't have a specialty. He was an expert in the entire law. If it was there, he knew it, and he understood it, and he taught it, and he defended it. Now, if you read this story quickly, though, it may just appear that this is a man who's seeking Jesus' wisdom and insight and help, a man desiring to ensure that he might inherit eternal life. "Jesus, could you help me understand this?" But that is definitively not the case here. That's not what's happening. That's not his motivation. I already told you, he's an expert in the Jewish law. How often do experts in any field go to someone who they would have the opinion doesn't know anything and ask them for their help? Well, only if they're setting them up to prove that they don't know anything. This guy knows his eternal destiny according to the Jewish law. He doesn't have to ask Jesus for help. He doesn't want Jesus' insight. The lawyer here, as a Jewish teacher, has either heard himself or he's heard from others about Jesus' teaching. A teaching that's coming against the Jewish understanding of God and the Jewish understanding of God's kingdom on earth. He, along with the other Jewish religious leaders, has heard Jesus' teaching, which challenged his understanding of Jewish faith. So this isn't curiosity before us. This is a bold-faced challenge. The lawyer is testing Jesus, hoping to discredit the gospel that Jesus proclaims. And we can see this not just because, as you read it, it says a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, but there are two very important details. First, he addresses Jesus as teacher. And the Greek word he used there is didaskalos. And it's a Greek word that appears in the New Testament 58 times. 47 of those times it's translated master. This is a term of respect. So 47 times master, 10 times teacher, and then there's one other time where the word is used for a doctor. It's a term that refers to respect and admiration. It's a title of respect like rabbi. So in the Jewish culture, here's a question. What was the proper posture before a rabbi? If you were going to be taught by a rabbi, what would your posture be? Where would you sit? You'd sit at his feet. So is that what we see the lawyer doing? Rabbi, I respect you. I'm going to sit at your feet. No. He stood up to put him to the test. He was taking Jesus on. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? This is a test for Jesus to see if he will respond in accordance with the Jewish law or if he's going to respond as he hopes he will, as a heretic, someone coming against the Jewish law, the Jewish faith. That's the lawyer's motivation. The lawyer saw Jesus as a fraud and a heretic, and he wanted to expose him. You and I have the benefit of being able to look back in history. So as we look back, I believe we can understand without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is who he said he was. God the Son, Messiah, who died on the cross and rose from the dead, the Savior of the world. We can know that looking back. Now, there may be some of you here who aren't yet, you're not there yet. I'm not convinced of that yet. I still have questions about if this is truth. And if that's you, I pray that you will ask God in the upcoming days to speak to you. I pray you'll spend time in His Word, reading His Word and asking for His insight. Because one thing I know about God, He loves each of you and He will respond to you if you ask Him. He will speak through His Word. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings. And in His ministry, Jesus revealed the Father's plan from the beginning of time. Jesus' arrival wasn't a new thing that contradicted the old. When you look at Hebrew scriptures in the New Testament, God had a plan from the beginning, and Jesus fulfilled it. Salvation as a gift from God, not earned. Salvation is a gift purchased by God Himself through Jesus Christ's blood shed on the cross. This gospel, this good news that Jesus proclaimed challenged the lawyer's understanding of God and of faith. And that's why he took him on. Jesus fulfills the Father's plan. He initiates new life through faith in His name, and He initiates God's kingdom here on earth. And so there's the motivation of the lawyer to expose Jesus as a fraud. We now turn from his motivation to his misunderstanding. And I submit to you that his misunderstanding is grounded in his belief that faith was a checklist. Faith was, in essence, a to-do list. His understanding of faith was that salvation was to be earned. It was about doing all of the right things for God. Look again at his question in verse 25. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? The question is, what's on the checklist for me to accomplish to ensure that I get what I think I deserve? How can I be sure that I am holy, that I am righteous? This isn't true faith. It's self-centered, checklist-motivated religion. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Do you earn inheritance? No. Inheritance is received because of who you are, not what you do. That's something that I learned from some very important lawyers in my own life, the lawyers that presided and helped us and guided us through the process where we adopted two of our children. Because those lawyers said to us, from this day forward, do you understand that this child is as much your own as any other children that you have, and they are given all of the rights and privileges, a full inheritance, period. It's not because they earn it or they're good enough. It's because of who they are, your children. You don't earn, inherit eternal life. It's a gift. So in their interaction, in response to this question, Jesus does a very Jewish thing, and he responds to the question with a question. He says, so how do you read the law? How do you read the Torah? Tell me your understanding. He puts them on the spot. So you're an expert in the law? You answer your question. How does the law read? And this is his response, verse 27. And the lawyer answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' response, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Take a look at these things in this verse. Is this a checklist? Something that you can do once and for all? Yep, accomplished that. Now I'm good. Don't have to worry about it anymore. No, this is not a checklist. These two great commandments put forth not a task to be checked off, but a lifelong relationship. No person apart from Jesus can fulfill this and check it off. This is a lifelong faith journey. All men, all women, and all of you children, we're all sinners. We're all imperfect, and we all fall short of God's requirement. No one can get this right. So faith, therefore, is the relationship lived with God, believing in, with faith in Jesus Christ as Messiah, and then being transformed day by day, guided by the Holy Spirit. True faith here is never done. You don't check it off. Yep, I've got salvation. I'm good to go. True faith is a day by day growing in your understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, and then who you are as his beloved daughter or beloved son. As his child, it's daily being transformed by those truths, who God is and who you are, daily maturing in your ability to understand his love for you and then to understand who your neighbor is and who God is calling you to love. The lawyer's misunderstanding was grounded in his following a religion of rules rather than possessing true faith, which is a relationship with a living God. Look at how Jesus ended the teaching of the parable of the Good Samaritan, verses 36 and 37. He says to the lawyer, which of these three men do you think provided to be a neighbor to the one who fell among the robbers? And the lawyer answered, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. He didn't say to the lawyer, do that. Find someone, do that, and then check it off and you're complete. He didn't say go and do it once. This is an open-ended, You go and you do, and you go and you keep going, and you keep doing this. Jesus' answer reflects faith as a relationship with God. Go and do. Follow my teaching and my example. Live like me. Live in relationship with me. Dependent on me. And that's your mission as a follower. If Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior in your life, then you are on mission with Him. And your mission is to go and do as He models, as He instructs. Your mission is faith lived in relationship with God. Your mission is faith that transforms you moment by moment, day by day, and faith which loves your neighbor, even when that neighbor might be an enemy, might make you feel unsafe, as the Samaritan would have made the Jewish person feel safe, unsafe, and vice versa. The lawyer's motivation? To discredit Jesus. The lawyer's misunderstanding, religion is a set of rules to follow to be a part of the club. Too many Christians, or those who call themselves Christians in our world, too many, I believe, are distracted by that same kind of misunderstanding. Christianity as rules. Christianity as things to do for God. As checklists of things we have to do to make God happy. Of checklists so that you're good enough to earn your salvation. And that's not it. That misses God's love for you and God's plan. Jesus makes it clear. The good news that is salvation is a gift given freely by God. It's not an inheritance earned, but a gift received because of who you are as His child. True faith is living day by day, moment by moment, in relationship with the living God who loves you and who transforms you, and then who loves through you as you love your neighbor. As so much conversation will be happening about who is our neighbor, who is right and wrong, who is the enemy, I pray that we will be led by the Holy Spirit to love our neighbor, even when we might feel unsafe, that we will obey what God calls us to do, and that as we do, God's love will change lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.